Welcome to the Talking Logistics Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Benora, Director of Client Services for PLG Consulting. Today's topic is tightness in the trucking market. Trucking rates are at an all-time high and service levels are suffering. Buckle up, it's a wild and unpredictable market. Trucking is typically the first and last mode of transportation for freight. The price of trucking affects most of the products we buy as consumers and businesses. Trucking also has the largest share among the domestic freight transportation modes, accounting for about 40% of U.S. ton miles. It's an area that lately has been plagued by disruption over new regulation, driver shortages, and hassles for shippers. Today's guest is John Gilbert, an expert in the trucking market and a PLG consultant. He has over 30 years of experience in truck freight, small package logistics, and supply chain optimization. John has strategically sourced nearly $1 billion in logistics services in trucking and other transportation modes. He has also designed comprehensive logistics models for major global and domestic retailers, distributors, and manufacturers. Welcome, John.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much, Chris.
Our first question is, what are the top three reasons that explain why we are in a tough trucking market today?
The biggest reason is that capacity in the industry today is constrained, and shipping volumes remain surprisingly high despite the pandemic. Traditional lanes of movement are shifting, and capacity is not always aligned with demand. We see that trucks are winding up in unusual places, unable to be loaded out, with lots of empty miles moving between sites. The last is that we have disruptions in the broader supply chain, which ripple through trucking markets in unanticipated ways, including excess unloading time, stuck loads, and missed pickups.
You mentioned that capacity is constrained. Do you think it's a matter of equipment, labor, or some other factor?
Labor is certainly the tightest constraint for trucking, Chris. The American Trucking Association estimates that at the end of 2021, we had a shortage of more than 80,000 drivers in the trucking industry, and they expect that to double by 2030. Annual driver turnover averages 92% at large truckload carriers, which means that every year, almost every single driver turns over. Factors that affect this are hours of service laws, restrictions that are newly imposed on drivers that have poor safety records, a general lack of interest in the truck driving lifestyle, and relatively modest pay. This crisis is large enough that the federal government is stepping in to help solve the issue. We also see that intermodal equipment is difficult to find, and there are big issues with the supply of domestic intermodal containers and chassis. These cause concerns for almost all types of intermodal operations. Finally, we have concerns at terminals, DCs, and truck yards where capacities are tight, pools of equipment are piling up, and access is blocked when the yards get full of empties.
Sounds like some very intrinsic problems.
It's really thorny and difficult to sort out.
So what should shippers be doing about this?
The first thing is work to eliminate bottlenecks in your own supply chains. It's really important to add inventory as needed to buffer variations in transit times. And customers that are on just-in-time programs will need to look and figure out if they can add more inventory or change lead times to do a better job of managing all the variability in transit times these days. Second thing is to become more of a shipper of choice and free up trucks faster at your facilities, unloading them quickly, and to avoid taking containers and holding them for excessive numbers of days in your yard. Finally, you should consider moving to dedicated trucking models for regular movements rather than relying on spot market or contract truckload. These can really help. Another thing is looking at rail intermodal to find alternative capacity at more reasonable rates.
When you're consulting with clients, what sourcing and negotiating strategies do you find are best in this current challenging market?
Building new relationships with new carriers and increasing your carrier base, at least temporarily, to access additional capacity is really helpful. Savings probably need to take a back seat at this time to capacity. Second thing is consider new forms of contracting, such as allowing prices to float, including fixed capacity and demand commitments, or using other innovative ways to eliminate risk for both the carrier and the shipper. Finally, we like to look at mini bids in addition to full-scale bids to fill out missing capacity and lanes and adjust rates to market conditions more frequently.
How does the process of negotiating trucking rates change when you're a small shipper with less leverage versus a bigger shipper with more leverage?
Well, small shippers need to form meaningful relationships with brokers and 3PL providers to get full access to market capacity. In general, we see that large asset carriers do not respond to small shipper sourcing events. Large shippers should also consider alternative options to asset carriers, contemplating coverage with the inclusion of brokers where capacity is challenged. Finally, large and small shippers should keep an open mind about rates and contracting approaches in this strained market. Partner and work closely with your carriers to find new ways to help each other. Expressive bidding, understanding what each party wants, and working toward win-win in negotiations always helps.
John, could you share with our audience some unique short and long-term solutions you're seeing shippers implement to combat higher truck rates now and in the foreseeable future?
The biggest thing is that smart shippers look at more than rates. They consider modal changes, network optimization, and other ways to reduce the total cost of ownership of freight rather than just transportation costs and price alone. Collaborative shipping is gaining popularity, and partnering with fleet operators to utilize their excess capacity can help both companies realize better outcomes. Source your freight spend regularly, and don't be afraid to go back to the market when you see rates heading in a more favorable direction. Look carefully at your levels of spot market versus contract rate exposure, and be flexible to take advantage of differences in the two pricing regimes. Consider splitting your business geographically by product or business unit or in other ways to find better fits for your activity, which means there might be certain modes that work better for certain parts of your business, certain carriers that work better, other things that you can do. Don't consider this as just black and white that you always ship the same way. Be creative and think about all the different aspects of your supply chain and building programs that fit each one of them better.
Earlier in the conversation, John, you mentioned just-in-time logistics. With the pandemic and the challenges that we've seen, do you think that there's second thoughts about that type of supply chain?
Definitely. The big challenge has always been, how do you manage cost versus risk trade-offs in running your supply chain? And what's happened, quite simply, is that supply chains got very good. They ran smoothly. They were largely automated. They had ample supply. Carrier capacity was more than adequate to handle demand. When we saw massive disruptions in supply markets and transportation markets and labor markets simultaneously, suddenly all those well-oiled machines started to break down. And what we're seeing right now is that the approach to JIT, or just-in-time, that worked really well in the early 2000s is failing miserably here as we get into all these other market challenges. So I think that the big thing that's going to happen out of all this is we're going to see shippers implementing new ways to control supply chain risk. And that means reducing the length of haul for your movements. It means nearshoring where it's possible for your manufacturing or raw materials or subassemblies. It means picking a variety of ways to move your freight instead of relying just on over-the-road trucking. And it means doing a better job of planning your inventories and buffers so that you can better control lead time and make sure that when bad events do happen, you have alternatives available to keep your supply chains running.
Thanks so much, John. That sheds a lot of light on the subject.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate the time with you today.
Our guest today for Talking Logistics has been John Gilbert, trucking expert and PLG consultant. Stay tuned for future editions where we'll discuss strategies for marine and rail transportation. Find out how we can help with your supply chain challenges by visiting plgconsulting.com.